Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And now, Lord, just use me to deposit something very precious and deep into their hearts today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to continue this morning. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven and the Beatitudes. I just love Christmas time because it's all about heaven coming to earth and offering us peace, not death, and goodwill, not ill will. This is what I had for you on the screen today in the way of the Bible. If we can throw that first slide up there. I know we do this every week. But before we read it, I want to just say it to you. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm his creation and his masterpiece. God doesn't make junk. Now sometimes we make a mistake and we put junk in. But you are his creation and his masterpiece. His word defines me, not my feelings. And I would add to that, not what other people say. And all that is mine. So I am free to serve others. That's where we're going today. That all that is mine, so I'm free to serve others. All right, will you say this with me this morning? This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am his creation and masterpiece. His word defines me, not my feelings. And all that is mine, so I'm free to serve others. Amen. I love Christmas because the King of Heaven, Heaven's chief ambassador. How many of you know the government of heaven, the unseen realm of the Spirit, sent their very best? They were so bent on sowing peace into this dimension, the dimension of earth, the natural dimension. They sent their very best, their king. The King of Heaven, the ambassador himself, Jesus Christ, coming here to bring peace to the earth. Now, many of you know, if God sowed a seed of peace, what did he want to reap? Peace on the earth. See, if you think that God didn't send Jesus here to change this dimension and change life on this planet as we know it, you are mistaken. God very much sent Jesus here to change the culture of this kingdom to look more and more like the one he came from. Now, I love that because you're talking about a good king here. How many of you know if you've got a village of people and they're destitute and poor and they're broke and a king comes along and says, I'm going to come and if you'll just yield to me, if you'll surrender to my rulership, I'll feed you and I'll clothe you. This is a benevolent king. Not a tyrant. This is a good king. How many of you know, if he came to rule those people, that would be a blessing to those people. The kingdom of God, you could put this in your notes, is the redemptive rule of God. In Matthew 4, when Jesus said his first public ministry announcement was repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he was saying was that the redemptive rule of God is here. You're broke, you're poor, but this is good news. You can come under my leadership and all of earth will belong to you. As we'll see here in just a second. See, Jesus didn't come here to provide you an escape hatch to heaven. Right? That, man, the world's really bad. We just got to get him out of there. He came to change this world. And we are now the ambassadors. Amen. That he uses to change the climate. Everybody say, change the climate. This king came bringing goodwill, not ill will. Thank God. God is God. He could have brought anything to this dimension he wanted, but he sent us a baby in a manger, a savior that would bring forth goodwill, not ill will. What a gift. And you realize, now that it's Christmas time, the whole reason we give gifts at Christmas time is it's symbolic of the greatest gift that was ever given to humanity. The greatest gift ever given to humankind. came right out of the unseen realm, the kingdom of heaven, and manifested here in our dimension. It's a miracle. He came bringing goodwill, not ill will, so that this Christmas we can give gifts worth far more than money. Don't let the commercialism deceive you. We can give gifts worth far more than money could buy. Wednesday night at youth, I asked the young people, the teenagers, I said, let's pray, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is the best gift I can give my family this year? Not one gift they mentioned is in the material realm. Not one. I heard the gift of a Christ-like attitude. The gift of forgiving my dad. The gift of unconditional love. Gifts worth far more than money. This is why the King of Heaven came to this dimension, so we would know how to give real gifts. Forgiveness and love without condition and peace and goodwill. What a gift you can give to your in-laws. Amen. And to your outlaws this Christmas. Give the gift of goodwill. I want to give you the gift that I myself have received. The King of the universe offered me goodwill. That is my gift to you. Speaking of goodwill, there was a woman that was hit by a drunk driver. Her and her husband were in the car, and she was confined to a wheelchair the rest of her day. She was paralyzed from the neck down. But she met that whole crisis in an attitude of faith and goodwill. Confidence towards God. And she became so radiant in that hospital that the nurse would send depressed patients to her room. And God began to use her to heal people in that hospital. All because she took on a different attitude than the world would have. An attitude reflected from another dimension, another kingdom, a different source. Can you imagine making it your prayer that, Father, I pray for that man that took my legs from me, that he not give way to the shame and the guilt and the embarrassment of what has happened, but that he would be saved. They would know the true riches that I know. Can you, only someone who understands how rich she is in heaven could be that way on earth. Now, her husband, he took the other path. And he gave way instead to ill will. And he took up bitterness in his heart and resentment against the man that took his wife's livelihood from him, or from her, and him. And it ruined his life's work. He lost his career, everything. Bitterness will kill you. It'll poison you. That's why when they came up with the word ill will to describe a grudge, bitterness, all that, the first half of that word is ill, because human beings aren't made for resentment. You're made in the image of a God who is full of goodwill, who came here announcing peace on the earth. The King of Heaven, peace has come to the earth, goodwill towards men. See, we know man's not at peace with man. Just watch the news. So who's the peace from? God to you, to the kingdom of men. Who's the goodwill from? We know man doesn't have goodwill with man everywhere. We've seen Walmart on Black Friday. I mean, people punching people on Black Friday to get a, quote, gift that is symbolic of the greatest gift the world's ever been given. I think they missed it somewhere. You know, we were talking in first service about being at Walmart. Well, I'll come back to that. I'm going to come back to that. It's too closely tied to meekness. But what you need to understand, church, is that goodwill that's been offered is from God to you. through the person of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, underline this in your Bible, do not be afraid. Glorious good news from the God of the universe. Right? I'm breaking through, guys. Here I come. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to a select few. To all people. All people. Verse 11, for there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's the ruler. I hope you capture that. Think of us as a poor village. Think of us as having nothing, and a ruler comes who has wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Provision and health and protection. Verse 12, and this will be the sign to you. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Peace has come to the earth and goodwill towards men. Wow. The kingdom of God is the redemptive rule of God. And everywhere it's welcomed, it redeems. You welcome the rule of this king into your marriage, it'll redeem your marriage. You welcome the rule of this king into a broken, damaged relationship, he can redeem it. One of the best presents we can give this Christmas to our family, our co-workers, classmates, in-laws, outlaws, the gift of goodwill and Christ-like attitude, the gift of forgiveness. Be on guard against for saleness. Where now you're putting conditions and criteria on whether or not you're going to give forgiveness. That's not forgiveness, it's for saleness. Forgiveness is a gift you get to give. Now the beauty of it is, Scripture says that when we participate, that we can become participators or partakers of the divine nature of God. When you do, your heart will sing. Because forgiveness heals two ways. When you get it, and when you give it. You didn't realize when you released that person this Christmas, you released yourself. Come on, am I preaching good? Is it the truth? Let's go back to Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. Verse 1, seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, blessed will you be. Blessed are. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, the comforter. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I've been looking at this. I've been studying it all week, Ron. And best I can tell, we're not real good at meekness. So let's all be friends this morning and climb into the boat together. Okay, you got your steel-toed boots on? We have room to grow in meekness. Let's look at the definition. This is out of Webster's. The word meek means mild, submissive, modest, gentle. You know, if you have the King Jimmy Bible, Galatians 5, one of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. New King James uses the word gentleness, okay? So meek means gentle. It means humble. Meekness is to endure persecution without resentment. We're good at that one. Void of the feeling you're better than someone else. Not easily provoked to anger. Not quick to defend yourself. Let's go to the next one. This is Pastor Steve's definition. Meekness is not weakness. Okay, put that in your notes. Very important. It's the strength not to punch back. It takes more power for you not to hurl an insult back at somebody who's insulted you than it takes for you to keep your mouth closed. It takes more strength not to repay evil for evil. And you know what the real question is, guys? My question would be, why, if you're hurling insults back at someone that's insulted you, all that says to me is, they're your source. You're carnal. Why are you allowing a natural person or circumstance to determine what's going to come out of your mouth and heart? Jesus Christ opened the dimension of the Spirit to you. He is your source. And He has no foul words for you. So, you can come to a place of maturity where you thank God for that person that rubs you the wrong way. Because it's revealed to you an area where you need growth and healing. Lord, why are they on the throne of my heart and not you? Amen. You still love me? Meekness is the peace and the power of knowing your heart is right and therefore not having to defend yourself. You simply let the truth be your defense. You know, that's what Jesus did. But if Jesus had gotten up, you remember when they ripped his beard out, right off of his face, and they spat on him, and they insulted him. If Jesus had got up and thrown about 5-6 haymakers with the right hand, we'd have never looked twice at him. Am I right? We'd have said, you know what? He's just like me. There's no difference. What was the difference with Jesus? He had an internal strength. Because it takes more power not to punch back than it does to punch back. Everybody say meekness. Imagine how easy it would have been to crucify Jesus if he stands up and starts yelling insults at everybody. You guys are idiots. You don't know who I am. You're about to crucify the Son of God. What's wrong with you? They'd have hung him up double time. But Scripture says he was like a lamb to the slaughter. He never opened his mouth. Because the truth is his defense. It was so powerful. Never opened his mouth. And that's why after the crucifixion, we have Roman guards start asking each other this question, what have we done? This one is different. He has a strength, church, that doesn't come from the natural realm. It doesn't come from pumping iron. It comes from truth and peace and security. And the understanding that Jesus had come from God and he was going back to God and the Father had committed all things into his hands. Everything was his. There was nothing to fight for. It was already his. Amen. The Father was his defender. Truth was his defender. John 13:3, I just quoted it to you. Put that in your notes. John 13:3. It says that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, what did he do? Knelt down and took a towel and wrapped it around his waist and began to wash the disciples' feet. In other words, Jesus did not enter into self-protection. He entered into self-giving. And he gave his life. I mean, he's washing even Judas' feet. The one he knew would betray him. But Jesus doesn't have to defend anything. He is who he is, and the Father is who he is, and the meek shall inherit the earth. Oh, come on. Are you seeing it? It's so powerful. See, when you're secure, when you're meek, when you understand this, that you belong to God, you came from God, you're going back to God, it will release you to serve. Self-give, not self-protect. Not self-defend. Jesus is trying to tell the disciples in Matthew 5 here, we're not going to go about this kingdom thing with swords and knives. Which is what the disciples wanted to happen. They wanted to overthrow the Romans. They wanted to give them one of these in the back. But Jesus said, guys, we're not going to go about it the same way. We're going to wage war with peace. We're going to wage war with meekness, internal strength. But those guys wanted swords. And so we had a tremendous communication breakdown in the Gospels. Everybody wants to argue, what language did Jesus speak? Let me tell you, he spoke God. He spoke Spirit. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic. Those guys he was talking to could not understand what he was saying. Because they spoke human. He spoke God, they spoke human. Until they got the Spirit of God, they could not interpret what was being said. It was like Charlie Brown's teacher talking to them. Want a good example? Did Jesus ever say, I'm going to give you guys power? Peter's like, power, yes, let me lap this guy's ear off. Let me just cut that thing off. Did the King of Heaven come along behind Peter and pick up the ear and put it back on? Yes, he did. Because he told Peter, Peter, I didn't say I was going to give you power. I said I was going to give you power. But he spoke God, he spoke Spirit, Peter speaks natural. So he's saying, Peter, I'm not going to give you power to take life. I'm going to give you power to give yours. Now that is power. Come on, give him praise. Look at the prophetic symbolism of what happened that day. We've got an angry disciple. Angry. And Jesus has to come alongside behind his church and heal all the people that we've wounded with our anger. Church, through the years, is angry, confused, just like Peter, because we don't speak Spirit. And the King of Heaven has to come alongside behind us and heal all the people we've wounded in our anger. But today, we enter into meekness. And I just declare, Lord, those days are numbered where you have to come alongside and behind the church and clean up our mess. And let me say this to you. If you're born again, you are meek. You may not have seen this fruit much in your life, but Christ is meek and he is inside you. So he's not asking you to go get something you don't have. You do not strive to be meek when you leave here. You surrender to the meek one who lives inside of you. Somebody ought to give him praise. Woo, that's powerful. Come on, amen, five. Do not strive to be holy. Surrender to the Holy One who lives inside of you. If you're yielded to the Spirit of Christ, holiness will be a byproduct of your union. It's the same with meekness. That's so powerful. Jesus would tell them, listen, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. And so they went, kingdom, yes, we get to lord over everybody. Especially the Romans, those dirty Romans. And Jesus is like, guys, I said kingdom, not kingdom. Meaning, in other words, it's not kingdom to go rule. It's kingdom go serve. Go serve. Because we're not working for anything. The earth is already ours. And the fullness thereof. You can't touch me. What's the worst that can happen? You kill me. I close my eyes to this dimension. I open them in the presence of my Father who waits for me. Woo-hoo! Jesus says, boys, use your elite status to serve humanity, not injure humanity. Yeah. And this understanding allows us to take a towel, wrap it around our waist, and begin to serve. We don't need to self-protect anymore. All that's His is ours. Matthew 5, as we go on down in the... We start with the Beatitudes. If you'll read the rest of Matthew 5, Jesus starts saying crazy things like, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who use you spitefully. Love on the people that hurl all kinds of insults to you. How about this? If they demand you go 1 mile, run why don't you volunteer and say, I'll go too? In other words, you can't touch me. You can't hurt me. I'm invincible. I'm meek. All that belongs to Christ is mine. It's all meekness. Love those who don't love you, and you'll be a picture of your Father who's in heaven. Anybody in here that God loved you in spite of yourself rather than because of yourself? Turn to Psalm 37. I want to read this one to you. It's too long to put on the screen. Jesus in Matthew 5 could have very well have said this instead. Psalm 37 verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. That's one of our biggest problems is what we eat. And I'm not talking about cheeseburgers, although those aren't necessarily good for you. Don't eat too many of them. Feed on His faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. See, God's trying to cut off what you've been feeding on. This is why He baited you into getting married. He thought, Jay's carnal, let's get him married. I will push him. I will cause him to go to the Spirit and feed on my faithfulness. Amen? Amen? Amen. Getting married will really enhance your prayer life. And when you really get mature, you'll quit praying. God will change them. And if you'll listen, He'll say, hey, I'm trying to change you. You spend all that time praying that. Lord's saying, get them to the altar. They gonna die. They gonna die. Today is the wedding day. Jesus, look at them celebrate. Little do they know. Feed on His faithfulness. Remember when Jesus, the disciples were perplexed because they couldn't cast out a certain demon. He said, well, hey, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Don't over-spiritualize it. What He's talking about is, I've got to cut off what you all have been feeding on. You want to remove this demonic prince? You better start feeding on something different than the flesh and the natural. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's verse 4. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. See, there it is again. God's going to defend you. He's going to make sure the truth is known. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. How many of you ever tried to overcome ill will with some more ill will? How'd that work for you? You thought that person was a problem then. Now they're a bigger problem. You thought there was a little fire there. You took gasoline and went. Verse 9, he says, don't fret, don't be wrathful, don't be angry. Evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Sound familiar? Matthew 5. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you'll look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. The Lord laughs because he sees his day is coming. Isn't that good? We don't have to repay evil for evil. You can't overcome evil with more evil. Relax. Be at peace. The meek inherit the earth. We win. God laughs at those people. He laughs at the wicked. who think they've got it all and a bag of chips. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy. That's us. To slay those who are upright in conduct. Us. Verse 15, their sword shall enter their own heart. Sin is its own punishment. You've got somebody who's wicked to you. Somebody who spews ill will at you. Pray for them. The devil is killing them. Ill will wrecked that husband's career. Remember the car wreck? Ill will ruined that man. There's a doctor who said he knew of no single thing that wreaked more havoc on the human body than resentment. Sin is its own punishment. Look, let's read it again. The wicked have drawn their sword, and then verse 15, their sword shall enter their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. Have we not lived this? Have you ever withdrawn love from somebody? You're going to punish them. I'm going to punish them and rule over them by being mean to them. You're the one who's subject. You just enslaved yourself to the enemy. He's ruling you. I can't get much help in here. Verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Tell your neighbor, I've already got it all. See, Jesus promised that the meek, his promise that the meek will inherit the earth is intended to give the disciples and all of us the strength to endure persecution when the natural inclination is to defend ourselves and retaliate. Jesus is saying, guys, you can endure the pressures of how the world makes money because I am your provider. Don't sweat if they made a million overnight. Don't sweat it. Don't go the way of the world. This is what Jesus is teaching the disciples. Guard against fighting fire with fire. Guard against fighting evil with evil. The meek are the strong. The meek, who we are the strong. Not the ones raising swords and venom. Boy, that's powerful. Many of us have tried to combat ill will with ill will. It doesn't work. How many of us are glad we tried to fix our marriages repaying evil for evil? I mean, it just became a calamity. The meek are the winners. The meek don't fight to win because they've already won. What can mere man do to me? The meek don't fear dying because they're already dead. Right? You entered the physical world through physical birth. Well, you don't need to be born again unless you've already died once. Born, died, born again. Okay? It's hard to offend a dead man. So if you're easily offended, you may not be dead. Can we go deeper? The reality is, if you're in Christ, you're already dead. You just need to align your mind with the truth. And recognize, I am dead to what they're saying about me. I'm not easily offended. John 16:33. Let's look at this one, Amplified Bible. I've told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. For in the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer. Look at this. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Undaunted. Be meek. For I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. How did Jesus do it? He said, I'm the door. What does a door do? It gives you access. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Spirit. I've given you the keys to that. What do keys do? Give you access. How did he overcome you being subject to the natural? He gave you a different ruler who's in the Spirit. You're governed by the Spirit, not by people and circumstances. Therefore, you're an overcomer. Therefore, you are invincible. When you're a man of the Spirit or a woman of the Spirit, you're invincible. You know the truth. You know that the spirit is greater than the natural. At some point, we have to begin to live like there really is another dimension. At some point, as Christians, we've got to live like there really is a spiritual dimension. Can we be honest and just say how carnal we've been? Carnally driven, carnally sourced for a long time. We need to begin to live like that other spirit dimension is a reality. Amen. All right, quick Bible drill, and I'll wrap this up. I'm just going to give you some scriptures on meekness. James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Husbands, you lashing out, cursing your wife, demeaning your wife, flashing your nasty teeth at your wife, does not produce righteousness in your home. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Your anger does not produce righteousness in your home. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to shut your mouth. Meekness is able to save your soul, which is your thought life, your mind, which leads to your emotions, which gets you in trouble. Receive with meekness the word of God. Slow to speak. Meekness, what he's saying here, if we're slow to speak and quick to listen, we're teachable. The meek don't have an itchy trigger finger. And don't make excuses. Don't say, well, you know, I'm Irish, so stop making excuses. You're not Irish, you're born again. From now on, we know no man after the flesh. Now we know you by the Spirit. And you are meek. I can't tell if I'm making friends or enemies today. Itchy trigger finger. Peter is a good example. Now, meekness doesn't mean that we don't get righteously angry about injustice. But listen to me. Anger is righteous when it's taken up on account of an injustice done to another, not to oneself. Jesus being led to Calvary and royally, what's the word I'm looking for? Just bad judicial system at work, never opened his mouth. But did he say anything about the religious people that were ripping off his people at the temple? You bet he did. Did he get angry? Mark says, angry with the church people at the temple when he was trying to heal the man with the withered hand. Okay, so your anger is righteous when it's taken up in regard to an injustice done to another. But even then, don't let the sun go down on it. And that'll keep your heart pure. Don't carry it day after day. Amen. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek is King James, gentle is New King James. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus described his ministry several times in Scripture. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the door. Here he describes himself. And the word he uses, meek. Meek. The strength not to fight back. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6:1-2. See, a meek person speaks with deep awareness that he himself is not perfect. at least after the flesh. Spiritually, yes, we are right with God and perfect. All that's His is ours by the Spirit. Jesus said, when you can see your own deficiency, do you remember the story of the log and the speck? Be careful. You're trying to remove this guy's speck, but you can't see the log in your eye. Now notice He didn't say, once you see the log, don't touch the speck. He said, you become quite the pinpoint physician, surgeon, when you can see the log in your own eye. Now you can remove your brother's speck. Because you are meek and you understand, I'm going to restore such a brother lest I fall prey to the same temptation. Woo, this is powerful. Somebody better give Him praise. Somebody better give Him praise. My goodness. I love the Holy Spirit as our teacher. I love that the Holy Spirit is welcome here in this place. Teach me, grow me, mature me, develop me. Amen. Make me a disciplined follower of Christ. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now he's really gone to messing with us. Meekness is tied to wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. See, that's why He doesn't want you defending yourself. If you take up anger because of what's happening to you, you're going to be self-centered and self-protect. And if you self-protect, well, you know I like to say it, anything that leaves you at the center winds up off-center. You'll get out of balance, and it'll be a train wreck. Verse 15, this wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where there's envy and self-seeking or strife, where there's envy and strife, confusion and every evil thing are present. Wow. You think the devil likes to bring strife into churches? This is why. It's a doorway sin. It's a gateway sin. He only wants strife so He can bring every form of evil into that church. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, here is meekness, guys. Look at it. It's pure, peaceable, gentle. It's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom of God and knowing God, knowing the truth, produces meekness. Because when you're at peace with God, you're at peace with yourself. And when you're at peace with yourself, you're at peace with everyone else. That's why we don't have to open our mouth. We don't have to yell at people. You know, here's the example. The Holy Spirit reminded me. We're at Walmart. It's Black Friday. I reach for the DVD player. Right? And there's a mad dash. And this older woman clubs me with her purse in the back of my head. Now, if I'm not prayed up, I may respond negatively. But let's say I am prayed up. I just came from church. I reach for that thing. You know what meekness does? Ma'am, here. Let's go one step further. This was Dennis's idea. Ma'am, may I buy that for you? Because you seem very troubled in your spirit. And I... Hear me. Hear me. And I want to show you what the spirit of this season really is. Because the King, the King of Heaven, who brought us this season, is in me. This DVD player is on me. Would you let me buy it for you? Now see, a meek person can do that. Yeah, Dennis will be taking the call. Pastor Steve is laid out in Walmart. Some woman clubbed him. Okay, the older lady passed out because someone was Christ to her. Okay. Guys, think about how many opportunities. Is there ugliness in the world? Every day. Stop lamenting it. Stop lamenting it. And look for your opportunities for the King to break through. Amen. And reveal the Spirit of Heaven. You're going to be friends with that person when you're in heaven. Did He not tell you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven? So you don't have to wait till you're in heaven to be her friend. to be good to her. Boy, that's powerful. You guys decided to come on up. I'm not even done.
Keep going.
I'm having a good time. The word willing here in James 3, willing to yield, means open to reason. That's what it means, open to reason. A meek person is a reasonable person. You can have a great discussion, even theological discussion, between two meek people, because what they'll do is they want the truth to be uncovered. They both want to know truth. So they don't elevate their opinion in the argument. They elevate truth. Amen? So we want truth in our dialogue. This whole deal of relativism in our society is a deception where they say, hey, you can believe what you want to believe. That's true for you, but that's not true for me. That is not meekness. That's self-protection. Two meek people would say, brother, I do want to hear what you have to say because I love truth, and let's elevate truth together and we can learn. I don't fear people out arguing me about something I believe about God. You want to know why? Because my security and my walk with God is not based on what I believe. It's based on who I know. I have security in my heart, and I'll dialogue with anybody about the Bible or any of those things because of who I know. What I believe changes every day. It gets more and more glorious. Amen? I'm secure in Him. Let's look at the last one. 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it's written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. It's also written, The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they're futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Everybody say, all things are mine. Look at what he's saying. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. Everything is yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, because they were arguing over who their pastor was, which was silliness, he said, or the world. All things are yours. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, even the world is yours. Life is yours. Death is yours. Things present, things to come, all are yours. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Meek, we don't have to out-argue everybody. We have internal strength. I'm not trying to enter into comparisonitis that your house is bigger than mine. Who cares? My dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I am rich far beyond what this world could ever give me. Amen? I am rich. Stand with me. Jesus talked about the true riches. Do you have them this Christmas? The true riches are the best gifts to give. Who needs vain one-upmanship? I can't be envious over Jeremy's house. His house really belongs to me. Why? Because I belong to the Lord. The Lord belongs to God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Everything that is mine. And I say that to say my house is His as well. Don't let the commercialism and consumerism blind you. Let's give the best gifts this Christmas. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that today. It's the greatest decision a human being can make. You are made for Him. And if you want to welcome Christ into your heart, would you just lift your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I want to be born again. Anybody. Amen. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Thank you, sister. Anyone else that would say, I want to be born again? Amen. You guys come forward. Give them a hand as they come. Brother Paul, right back here. Bring it forward. Bless you. Give me a hug, man. Amen. Dennis, there's one more. Come on, church. Bless God. Amen. Bless you. Bless you.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.